Canto 5, Chapter 17. The Descent of the River Ganges. Sri Shuka said, "At the time, the incarnation of Lord Vishnu, who is directly the enjoyer of all sacrifices, took his second step as Lord Vamana. He, with the nail of the big toe of his left foot, pierced the upper covering of the universe. The flow of water that from the outside entered the hole, having turned pink from washing away the red powder of his lotus feet, vanquishes the sins of all the world getting in touch with it. It fell, after a very long time, from the sky down on top of the highest planetary world that one calls the refuge of Vishnu. Emanating directly from the Supreme Lord's feet, it is described as completely pure, and has, for that reason, been given that name, the Ganges, as the Vishnu Padi. There, in that place, our most exalted, firmly determined devotee, the famous son Dhruva of Uttanapada, bathes in the water of the lotus feet of the family deity. With his heart deeply immersed in an intense eagerness, his spontaneous devotional service to the Lord constantly increases, and tears are showing in his two flower-like, slightly opened eyes as a symptom of the ecstasy in his body. Even today, he with great reverence accepts upon his head the emanated water that is free from impurities. After him, the waters reach the seven sages. They, well known with this blessing, even at the present moment carry it on their matted hair with great honor. They consider it the ultimate perfection of all austerities to be of such a great and continuous devotional service in Bhakti Yoga unto the Supreme All-Pervading Lord Vasudeva. While other people seek and find a different form of liberation, they reach their goal by neglecting all other means of attaining perfection. When the water, in its fall in the realm of the gods, has inundated the sphere of the moon that is so congested by the thousands and millions of their different vimanas, it next falls down upon the abode of Brahma. There it divides into four branches carrying the names of Sitta, Alakananda, Chakshu, and Bhadra that flow away in the four directions towards the great reservoir, the ocean. The Sitta, originating from the city of Brahma, flows downwards from the tops of the Kesarachala and of other great mountains. Fallen on the top of the Gandhamadana mountain within the province of Bhadrashva, going in the western direction, it enters into the salty ocean. The same way, coming down from the top of the mountain Malayavan, the water of the branch of the Ganges called the Chakshu next flows uninterrupted in the direction of Ketumala to enter the ocean in the west. The Bhadra, coming down from Mount Meru, flows from one mountain peak to the other, the Kamuda and the Nila, and falls down from Mount Sringavan to go in the northern direction through the entire area of Kuru and finally enters the ocean in the north. Similarly, the Alakananda branch of the Ganges, flowing down at the southern side of Brahmapuri, Mount Meru, passes many mountain tops to reach more fiercely, with a greater force, Himakuta and Himakuta, to cut thereafter through Bharatavarsha in the direction of the ocean in the south. For someone on his way to bathe in the water, it is, with every step he makes, less difficult to obtain the result of great sacrifices like the Ashwamedha and the Rajasuya. The many hundreds of other rivers and streams that run through each of the many tracts of land, all should be considered daughters of Mount Meru. Of all these nine Varshas, the land known as Bharatavarsha, India, constitutes the field Kshetra of karma, of shaping one's destiny by actions. The remaining other eight Varshas are the heavenly places here on earth where, so the scholars say, those who were promoted to heaven may spend the remaining merit of their virtuous deeds. For thousands of years, they in these lands all enjoy their lives just like gods, with bodies like thunderbolts that are as strong as 1,000 elephants. Youthful and excited about a great deal of sexual pleasure and other sensual delights in diverse relationships, they, at the end of their term of liberal mating, then conceive a single child. They know times of harmonious living there, like one had during Treta Yuga. In each of those lands, the godlike leaders, because of their virtuous conduct, never run short of respect and offerings. During all seasons, they have lots of flowers as also fruits, because of which the branches of the trees heavily bend down. The gardens, to their many divine refuges, are full of beautiful trees and creepers. There are many lakes of crystal clear water in the valleys of the mountain ranges that demarcate their lands. In those lakes, one finds all kinds of fragrant fresh lilies with humming bumblebees, eager great swans, ducks, cranes, and other aquatic birds. They enjoy all kinds of water sports there and lustily court the attractive godlike women who, smiling with their playful glances, entertain themselves freely with great joy, an eager look, and an enchanted mind. The Supreme Lord Narayana, the great personality, certainly proves his mercy to his devotees in all these 9 varshas by personally promoting the reality of the soul. Up to the present day, he thus stays near his devotees to accept their service. In Ilavrita Varsha, the Supreme Lord Shiva is the only man. Any man other than him who wants to enter that most excellent realm will find out what leads to the curse of Bhavani, his wife, and make him turn into a woman. I will dilate on that subject later on. In the company of Bhavani, there are 10 billion women who always serve the four-expanded Supreme Lord. The 4th expansion of the Supreme Personality, known as Sankarsana, constitutes the source of his form in the mode of ignorance. Lord Shiva, in trance meditating on him, calls him into his heart by reciting the following in worship. The powerful Lordship says, "My obeisances unto you, O Supreme Lord, O greatest original personality and reservoir of all transcendental qualities, O you whom I revere as the one unlimited and unseen within this world. O worshipable one, whose feet ward off all danger, you, to whom we owe all the different opulences, are the very best, the ultimate shelter invaluable to the devotees, to whose satisfaction you manifest yourself in different forms. I sing your glory, because you put an end to the repetition of birth and death, O you, supreme controller and source of this creation. Who of us, not in control of the force of his anger, would, aspiring to conquer his senses with the command of your glands, not be of worship unto you? Your vision is never, not even to the slightest degree, clouded by the restless mind that one has because of the qualities of the deluding material world. To a person with an impure vision, you, with your bloodshot eyes, appear as someone who under the influence of Maya is inebriated because of drinking too much honey-sweet liquor. But such a person is as impure as, for instance, the wives of that serpent demon Kaliya, who could not worship you any more because of their bashfulness about being sensually aroused from touching your feet. By you, so say all the sages, the world is maintained, created, and annihilated, while you yourself are free from these 3 basic qualities. To you, as the unlimited one, the universes situated on the hundreds and thousands of your hoods weigh not more than a mustard seed. From you, the first embodiment of the gunas originated, the most powerful one who was never born, Lord Brahma, the reservoir of all wisdom and cosmic intelligence of the total energy of the universe. From him, I, Rudra, appeared in this world, who, endowed with the 3 basic qualities, from my material Ahankara ego potency, give shape to the demigods, the 5 material elements, and the senses. Being controlled by you, we, the great personalities, I, The demigods, the five elements, and the total energy are bound to you like birds on a string, and altogether form this material world by your grace. A person, bewildered by the qualities of creation, does not know how to escape from being caught in the deluding energy that ties him on every occasion to karmic activities. That Supreme Personality, you, in whom everything has its beginning and its end, I offer my respectful obeisances.